Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
The time here in Germany is 8:05. A very good morning to you all wherever you're listening to us from, and welcome to DW's Africa Link program. I'm Isaac Mugabe, your host. Coming up, Zimbabwe's President Robert Mugabe issues new threats against foreigners who own businesses in the country but refuse to transfer shares to Zimbabweans.
There are companies in this country that still refuse to accept our empowerment policy. But certainly come January and it's 2016, that stubbornness and resistance, we say, should end in 2015.
Violence erupts in Bangui, the capital of the Central African Republic, as people attempted to cast their ballot on the country's new constitution.
We evacuated more than 10 people, wounded people, from the places where there was violence to the hospitals.
And world leaders agree on a deal at the climate change talks in Paris, France. We will be hearing what's in the deal for African countries, so stay tuned.
Top story.
Zimbabwe's President Robert Mugabe has renewed his threats against foreign-owned businesses that refuse to transfer some shares to local Zimbabweans. Under the controversial indigenization program implemented in 2007, Zimbabweans must have a 50% stake in all businesses owned by foreigners. This is aimed at addressing inequalities in the business sector, but critics say the program only benefits Mugabe's cronies. From Harare, Columbus Mavunga sent this report.
Those are delegates at Zimbabwe's ruling party annual conference cheering their leader, President Robert Mugabe. The 91-year-old Zimbabwean leader touched on corruption amongst senior officials and again warned foreign companies with unspecified action.
There are companies in this country that still refuse to accept our empowerment policy. But certainly come January and it's 2016, that stubbornness and resistance, we say, should end in 2015. 2016, we will not accept a company which refuses and rejects our policy of indigenization and empowerment.
Zimbabwe introduced indigenization laws in 2007, which stipulated that foreign businesses must cede 51% control to black Zimbabweans. Analyst Rejoice Ngwenya comments on this policy and President Robert Mugabe's threats.
We need friends, and we know that the reason why we don't have corporate friends is because our investment laws are very stringent, including the indigenization law.
Mugabe, who is the only leader Zimbabweans have known since the country's independence in 1980, said the country's economy was on the road to recovery and year 2016 was promising for Zimbabwe. Analyst Ngwenya again.
You know, the markets are showing negative indices. Unemployment figures are growing by the day. The stock exchange, which is actually the litmus paper for investment climate, is showing negative indices. And the power outages and the crisis in the enabler of power is very clear. So I do not know when the old man is saying the economy is on the up. You can see it shows his detachment, his lack of understanding.
Another issue that Mugabe left out in his speech was drought and the perennial food shortage Zimbabwe is facing. UN agencies such as the World Food Programme, WFP, and Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, say more than 1.3 million Zimbabweans need food handouts between now and March next year when their harvest season starts.
Columbus Mavunga in Harare. Now, Climatologists predict that Zimbabwe might face severe drought in 2016 farming season as a result of the rising El Niño disaster. The country's economy is heavily dependent on agriculture, but the sector has not been doing well in the past few years. Joseph Made, Zimbabwe's Minister of Agriculture, was at the German African Agribusiness Forum in the German city of Cologne, where my colleague Privilege Mushani caught up with him. He started by asking about the impact of climate change on Zimbabwe's agriculture sector.
Southern Africa at the moment is in the grip of a developing El Nino, as you know. The rains are already late, and it's likely that we'll have less precipitation. This is why we are putting emphasis into irrigation development and also mechanization. First, we want to look at the amount of water that is seated in the aquifers. We want to look at the recharge rate. We must reduce cutting down of trees and also develop efficient irrigation systems so that we maximize the utilization of the limited water resources that we have.
The Zimbabwe government recently introduced land tax, and you find that the bulk of the farmers who are being asked to pay come from the small sector, which is struggling with finances. How is this going to work, considering that most new land owners cannot afford to pay the taxes?
The aspects of taxation are meant to also deal with the aspect of underutilization of land. It's relating to the land that has been hitherto underutilized. So the farmers, I think, have put a blanket approach to it, that they are being punished. We would not be as careless as to willy-nilly punish farmers at all. The farmers are also correct in a way that they are facing other taxes that do not relate to land as such. There are certain levies. Obviously, those, we review them. And in the light of the drought, obviously, the farmers are also looking at that. So Zimbabwe uses a fair system where we review matters in the light of the drought, if that is the situation. If you are on a piece of land, you have to utilize that particular piece of land so that you make an earning.
You are attending this agribusiness forum here in Cologne, Germany. What is your takeaway from this forum?
The German Africa organizers, in terms of the German side, did visit Zimbabwe. They are looking at understanding the agriculture sector and the totality of the Zimbabwean economy. So we have been given an opportunity through this invitation to come and interact with the German companies in the value chain in terms of the agriculture sector.
Joseph Made, Zimbabwe's Minister of Agriculture, speaking to my colleague, Privilege Mushaniri.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
At least two people were reported dead and dozens wounded in Bangui, capital of the Central African Republic, after clashes between protesters and security forces. On Sunday, voters attempted to cast their ballot for a new constitution, which is seen as a key step before the presidential and parliamentary elections scheduled for later this month. In a Muslim-dominated area, PK5 district, where most of the violence occurred, protesters gathered in front of the UN peacekeepers' compound, demanding their candidate be included in the polls. The violence broke out shortly after. Jacquemain Mwewu works with the International Federation of the Red Cross in Bangui and spoke to my colleague Abubakar Jallo about the situation in the capital.
The situation, it's almost calm, because as you can presume, it's those who were trying to disturb the processes. I think now everything is almost closed. The situation, I can say, it's calm in Bangui, but it was very tense, not in all areas of capital Bangui, but only in some areas, especially in what they call Boirab area, and almost, I can say, the area near PK5. But the general situation was tense, as I was said, especially in some areas.
We made to understand that a couple of people died from this violence. What is the current death toll?
the National Red Cross, with the support of the International Red Cross in Bangui, we evacuated more than 10 people, wounded people, from the places where there was violence to the hospitals. I don't have the global statistics regarding dead people, but I can just tell you regarding the people we evacuated. We evacuated more than 10 people to hospitals in Bangui. But right now, we don't have the global situation regarding the statistics.
So do you presently have a rough idea of who or what was behind these attacks?
You know, it's a political process. There are people who don't agree with that process regarding the referendum, regarding the name of the candidates for the presidential elections. So this is a political issue. We'd like not to make comments regarding that political issue as Red Cross.
Okay, so did voting go and carry on despite this violence?
Yeah, I can say that. You know, it isn't just Bangui. The process, it's a national process. Of course, there are some areas, some regions where there was violence, but I can say in general it was possible to make elections.
Germain Mwewu from the International Federation of the Red Cross talking about violence in the PK5 district. World leaders have reached an agreement at the climate change talks in the French capital, Paris. The deal is to reduce carbon emissions into our atmosphere below an average of 2% and finance the development of renewable energies in mostly developing countries. But how does Africa feature in these agreements? Africa Link's Abakal Jalo spoke to Melita Steele, a campaigner with Greenpeace in South Africa.
So the climate agreement in Paris is clearly a historic moment, and it's put to rest the ghost of Copenhagen, which was where a deal was supposed to be signed in 2009. If you ask Greenpeace what we think about the deal, it's certainly a step forward, but it is not the end of the struggle to avoid the worst impacts of climate change. So some parts of the text were watered down, other parts were made stronger. But what is important to remember is that 1.5 degrees Celsius long-term goal was actually included in the text. And that means that the most vulnerable countries around the world actually stand a chance of avoiding the worst impacts of climate change.
How significant is this for African states that might be affected by climate change?
I think that it's critically important. One thing that the Paris Agreement does is it actually recognizes the role of renewable energy, particularly in supplying universal access to electricity, and that is in particularly in relation to the African continent. There was also the announcement of the Africa Renewable Energy Initiative, which means that there's an agreement that funding will go towards African countries to invest in renewable energy.
There's been a lot of talk about climate financing. We've seen France and Germany come forward to put about 5 billion euros to fund African countries within the next 4 years. How different is this sort of funding going to be in comparison to the sort of development funding we've seen that is basically not making that much impact in terms of developing African countries?
So I think that's something that we're going to have to continue to push and put pressure on going forward, is that developed countries must contribute money towards financing climate commitments in other countries. And the existing commitment of $100 billion a year for emissions reductions and adaptation in developing countries was supposed to end in 2020, and that has now been extended to 2025. And new finance commitments, as you mentioned, were announced in May during the Paris negotiations. But it's really important to remember that they are by far not enough yet, but they are an important signal both to the market and to policymakers.
Melita Steele, a campaigner with Greenpeace in South Africa. It's now time to relax and enjoy an episode of our Learning by Ear series, Crime Fighters.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Crime Fighters. and welcome to the seventh episode of our series, Crime Fighters, The Radical Journey. The situation in Kululaland is becoming tenser by the day. No one knows why Zora Kassim carried out a bombing attack a few weeks ago in the Domingo shopping mall. Her father, Honorable Kassim, is now heavily implicated. The young officers on the case, Inspectors Brenda and Jude, feel they are getting closer to the answer. But they've decided to come clean with the police commissioner on something they had hidden from him. This episode is called My Story.
You're telling me Jude had a relationship with Zora, the suicide bomber? Did you realize he should have been a suspect all along?
Yes, Mr. Commissioner, sir. I'm very sorry that I didn't tell you before. But I really wanted to work on the case. I thought I could help.
It's too late for apologies, Jude. Just don't bother. Who is this Cecilia again?
Jude went to high school with her, the same as Bobo. She wasn't able to go to university. Her family couldn't afford it.
I see. You have acted in a very unprofessional way, Jude. I ought to put you in front of a disciplinary committee.
Please, sir. Just give me another chance. I promise I won't disappoint you. I know I can help crack this case.
I have a meeting in the next few minutes. All right, I'll overlook it. But only because you are Internet Cafe Tipo for successful. Be very careful. I won't be as generous next time.
Phew. I wasn't sure how he was going to react. Jude, are you okay? Aren't you relieved you've told him?
Yes, but Brenda, I know I'm about to crack something. I need him to trust me enough to keep me on the case.
Are you hiding something else? Jude, spit it out. We need to be absolutely open with each other about this.
I know. Don't worry. It'll all be clear by this evening. Cecilia sent me a text asking me to go and see her. I have a feeling she's been hiding something and wants to come clean.
Does Cecilia know you're a policeman?
No, not yet. But I'm planning to tell her this evening. Sissy is a friend. She won't betray me.
Sissy? Jude, I really hope you know what you're doing. You have to let us help you.
It's okay, Brenda. I know exactly what I'm doing.
Hello, Patrick.
Madam Lado, I told you not to come here. You should have just sent the money through a middleman.
I've already given you plenty of money. Enough to follow my husband and find out what he's up to. And you've never given me any feedback.
I told you. There were a lot of things I had to confirm before I could say anything for certain.
I understand, but please, just tell me. Is my husband involved with a terrorist group? Did he have anything to do with our daughter's death?
Not exactly.
What do you mean, not exactly?
Madam Lado, your husband had nothing to do with your daughter's death, but some of his dealings may indirectly have helped the terrorists.
Tell me. I was told you are the best at digging up this kind of thing. That's why I came to you.
Madam Lado, these are the documents and evidence I've found. They include some recorded conversations between your husband and some other politicians.
Let me have them.
Not so fast, madam. Do you have my final payment?
Here you are. It's all there as requested.
All right then. Here are the documents. Remember, we never met. Good luck to you, Madam Lado.
Brenda, Jude, before you finish for the day, I just want to bring you up to speed about the meeting I attended earlier.
Yes, Mr. Commissioner, sir.
There have been far more terrorist attacks in the past few months than we've ever had before in the Takoka region.
The worst was the attack on the university. The highest number of casualties ever.
Exactly. It still sends chills down my spine to think of it.
I had to explain to the Inspector General of Police how we got to Bobo, Jude's former classmate. You're in luck, Jude. He thought your going undercover was a brilliant move. So we are planning to launch a number of undercover operations, starting in the youth hangouts. Police officers will be sent into schools to try and prevent further attacks.
What about the regional assembly? They're debating introducing a capital punishment law for terrorism offenses.
Let's leave the politicians to their own devices for now. The police will be holding a session of their own to go through all the various terror investigations and consolidate their findings.
And we are gathering more and more evidence about Scambo the Warlord and clues to his whereabouts. So it shouldn't be too long before we can finally arrest him.
Precisely. But we're not just going to arrest him. We're also putting machinery in place that will make things very difficult for others like him.
How, sir?
We are creating a special unit to tackle terrorism. The personnel will be given advanced training in dealing with these issues. We've never had anything like this before. But the key thing about this unit is that they won't be regular police officers. They'll work completely undercover and mingle with young people. No one will be able to identify them. They'll make sure the force is constantly kept informed.
Cecilia? Cecilia, is that you? What's wrong?
Jude?
What's up? Have you been crying?
No. I mean, Jude, I'm so sorry.
What for? You haven't done anything to me, but you're really scaring me right now.
I'm so sorry for the way I behaved the last time. I have so much on my mind I really need to tell you.
Tell me what? What made you change your mind about talking to me?
I'm just so tired. Tired of all the deceit. After what you said, I started to realize you're right. It was all just brainwashing.
What is it, Cecilia? Come on, you can tell me anything. You know I'm your friend.
It's about Zora. I feel so guilty.
What about Zora? Why would you feel guilty?
Oh, Jude, the way you talked about her last time, you asked me what I was doing with the warlord, remember? Well, I came to him voluntarily.
What? Why?
I heard from a friend of a friend that they were looking for young women. I was curious. I wanted to do something with my time, so I volunteered. And before long, Scambo and I were together.
So what's changed, Cecilia? Aren't you happy anymore?
No, I'm not. Let's just say our last conversation made me think a lot.
But why would you feel guilty about Zora?
I didn't even know you two knew each other. I was so jealous of her. She had everything I didn't. Beauty, brains, everything. And now she's gone. And I didn't do anything to stop it.
How did you meet her?
Scambo has this kind of gift for discovering people. He found her on the Friends Connect website. He's very smart, you know.
Scambo? Really?
Oh, yeah. They used to chat for hours online. I was so jealous. His face would light up whenever he was online with her. It was clear they were in love.
What? You're kidding me. Okay. Well, since it seems to be confession time, I have a few things I need to explain to you two. I hope you won't hate me for this.
What a surprising revelation from Cecilia. Could Zora and the warlord really have been in love? Jude's about to reveal the truth to Cecilia and tell her that he's a policeman. How will she respond? Join us again next time for the final episode when all will be revealed. If you want to listen to this one again, check out our website, dw.com/crimefighters. And we look forward to your comments on our Facebook page. Until next time, take care.
And before we leave you, a reminder of the main stories once again. Zimbabwe's President Robert Mugabe has issued new threats against foreigners that own businesses in the country but refuse to transfer partial ownership to ordinary Zimbabweans. Violence erupted in Bangui, the capital of the Central African Republic, as people attempted to cast their ballot on the country's new constitution. There we come to the end of this broadcast. You can contact us by sending an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, a letter to Africa Link, DW53110 Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to country code 49160 957 59510. I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn.